Dear friends, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There was an ad campaign that was run by the National Health Service, the government-run health program in Great Britain. It's called the NHS, the National Health Service. And there was an ad campaign that ran a couple of weeks ago that caused this big, huge public outcry. It was all over the internet. Everybody was so upset about these ads that had run. And I'd like to show two of them to you on the screen. Go ahead, Rick. This is the first one. It reads, "Would you give up this?" And there's some 3-inch spike heels and a tube of lipstick. "Would you give up this for this?" And then there is a baby's pacifier. Then there's the next one. "Would you give up this?" Obviously, this one's, well, apparently it's aimed at the men. "Would you give up this, a video game remote control, for this, a baby's pacifier?" Caused a huge outcry throughout Great Britain. The first one with the heels and the lipstick, that upset both pro-life groups and feminist groups. And if you can upset those people at the same time, you've really done something. You've accomplished something there. Go ahead and move on to the, get back to the cute kid slide. Whatever might have been the motivation or the original intent for these advertisements, the message being sent is that children are a burden to avoid. The message being sent is that a child will crimp your style, right? You want to give up those heels and that lipstick for a child? Having a child will crimp your style. It will be a hindrance to putting yourself first. Do you want to play video games or do you want to take care of a baby? Would you give up this for this? The message behind these ads is that giving up something for the sake of a child is a horrible thing to do, and it's not worth it. The values behind these advertisements are that self-fulfillment is more important than sacrifice, and that life is about what you can get out of it, not what you might be called to give up for somebody else. In our gospel reading for today, Jesus is telling the disciples what he is going to give up for them, for me, for you, for the world. Jesus is telling them again, as he did last week, that he will be betrayed into human hands and that he will be killed before he will rise again on the third day. And the disciples are oblivious about all of this. They don't understand what it means to be giving up things. They thought that when the Messiah would come, that they would be getting things, that they would be getting power, that they would be getting a kingdom for Israel, finally, that they would be getting Rome out of their property, running away with their tail between their legs. They thought they were going to get some things. They didn't understand what Jesus was saying when he was talking about giving himself up. And they were too afraid to ask him about it. And so instead, they start having these conversations between themselves, talking to each other, arguing maybe a little bit, bickering back and forth about who is going to be the greatest. They brush off all this giving up talk and they focus on what they think they're going to get. Who's going to get the most power? Who's going to get the most authority? Who's going to have the greatest status? Who's going to have the most of these things, do you think? Who will be the greatest among us? They argue back and forth. And so Jesus sits them down. It's obviously time for a lesson for these guys. And Jesus says to them, "Whoever would be first must be last of all and a servant of all." Then Jesus takes a child. There must have been a crowd on the periphery of their little gathering. Jesus takes a child, maybe a little boy resting in his mother's arms, maybe a toddler resting on his mother's hip. Maybe it was a little girl off to the side holding her dad's hand. Jesus takes a child and he places this child right in front of them, putting this child in the spotlight, making this child the center of attention for just a moment. And then Jesus does a beautiful thing. Jesus takes this child in his arms and he says, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." The disciples had all of these big ideas about what they would get when the kingdom came, when the Messiah came. They would get power, they would get authority, they would get status. But Jesus turns that all upside down by calling them to care for children. Jesus calls them to go ahead and take hold of those filthy fingers. God knows where they've been, right? Jesus calls his disciples to take these children into their arms. No matter what kind of snot you're going to get on your sleeve, it's going to happen. Just get over it. Jesus calls them to take up the lowly task of caring for children. The disciples were planning on thrones, but Jesus gave them changing tables. This was a shocking move by Jesus because children were not particularly valued in the ancient world. They were barely considered human until they had reached maturity. Of course, children were loved by their parents, and it is true that the Jewish people valued large families as a way of perpetuating the tribe. But when it came to real, live, flesh and blood children in front of you, they were largely seen as an inconvenience, as a burden, as unimportant. We see this mindset at work even in the disciples themselves. You probably recall the story where people were bringing children to Jesus and the disciples were shooing them away. Get those children out of here. We have important things to do here. Don't bother the teacher. They were seen as unimportant, as lesser, as a burden. Caring for children on a day-to-day basis was considered one of the lowliest of tasks. Men certainly didn't do it, especially not prominent men, which the disciples were just daydreaming about becoming, right? And so Jesus takes a child and he places this child in front of them and says, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me." Jesus is teaching them that in his kingdom, it's not about what you get. It's about what you might be asked to give up. Whoever would be first, Jesus says, must be last. And to prove his point, he calls his disciples to the lowliest task of welcoming and caring for children. What might this mean for us gathered here today? Does it mean that if we're really going to follow Jesus and if we want to be first in his kingdom, that we should all go out and open up daycare centers? Is that what it means? No, but it does mean that following Jesus is not about what we get. It's about what we're called to give up. It's not about jockeying for positions of power or status. It's about humbling ourselves, being willing to take up the lowliest of tasks in his name. And this can be lived out in any number of different ways. It might be in terms of taking care of a child, but it also might be lived out by taking care of someone who is elderly and vulnerable and needs care. Bathing an elderly person or feeding an elderly person or bringing them to worship might be a way this is lived out. It might be lived out by serving a meal down at Spin Cafe to someone who is unpleasant or prickly and maybe doesn't smell very good. This might be lived out by caring for a spouse who is ill. My friend Father Paul at St. Augustine's here in town, he has a ministry of caring for abandoned and abused dogs. They bring them to Father Paul in really, really rough shape, bloody shape sometimes, and he nurses them back to health and so they can be adopted again. Maybe it takes the form of that. Or maybe it could take the form of stooping so low as to wash some dishes. Maybe after worship over here, we have people washing communion dishes, or maybe after fellowship time, washing dishes in the fellowship hall or in the kitchen over there. I know what a lowly task that is and how it's thought of in the world outside. I washed dishes in high school at a bowling alley. It was the lowest of the low kind of positions, right? But maybe it takes the form of a lowly task like that. There's a saying out there, everybody wants a revolution, but nobody wants to do the dishes. Right? That's a true thing. So it can take a lot of different forms living out this call, but yes, it also takes the form of caring for children, which can be a burden, which can be hard and inconvenient and exhausting, but it's the most important job there is. This kind of work is not valued in our society today any more than it was in Jesus' time. I speak at the local MOPS group, MOPS meaning Mothers of Preschoolers. They keep asking me back every every February to give a talk on marriage around Valentine's Day. So I've been doing that for a few years now. And whenever I go over there to talk to this Mothers of Preschoolers group, I always start my talk by affirming how important their work is. I remember back to what life was like for my wife when she was caring for preschoolers. And so I tell them how important their work is. And I always get a lot of bright, beaming smiles back at me. It's a great way to win over your audience right away, right? But I'm deeply sincere when I say that. And I also notice in the midst of the smiles, there's always three or four or five women who are wiping away tears. Because they just don't hear that very often. Not that caring for children is just women's work. Martin Luther, writing in the Middle Ages, mind you, one of my very favorite quotes of Luther, and that's saying a lot for me, taking his cues from Jesus, Luther once wrote, "When a father changes his child's diapers or performs some other menial task for his child, and everybody else is laughing at him as an effeminate fool, God and all his angels are smiling." That's, I've told Amy, that's what I want etched on my headstone. It's a lot of words, I know, but our callings in life might well lead us to positions of power and authority, maybe as a CO or even an admiral of some kind in the Navy or in the armed forces. Maybe it's as a CEO of a corporation. Maybe it's as a high-ranking government official or a principal of a school. Those are all noble callings that Christians can embrace. But those who follow Jesus never become so important or so powerful or so high-ranking that they are no longer willing to stoop down and care for a child or feed someone who is hungry or wash some dishes even. Whoever wants to be first, Jesus says, will be last of all and servant of all. The devil came to Jesus in the wilderness and had his own version of, "Would you give up this for this?" The devil said, "Would you give up all worldly power, all worldly kingdoms for this?" This being the way of the cross. And Jesus, with the rest of his life, said, "Yes, I would and I will." And he did. Jesus didn't come into this world to get something. He came into this world to give himself up for me and for you and for the whole world. All of our sinful disobedience, all of our disordered priorities, all of our pride, it has all been nailed to the cross where it dies with Jesus so that we might be raised up to new life with him. And as we are raised up to new life with Jesus, we come to embrace a way of life that is not just about getting. It is about giving ourselves up for him by giving ourselves up for others. But there is something that we get out of all of this. As we embrace those children entrusted to us, we get Jesus. Whether they're our own children or the children in our Sunday school classes or our congregation or the children in our community or the children of our world, as we embrace those children God puts in front of us, we get Jesus. As we stoop down to perform acts of service, no matter how lowly, we get Jesus. As we welcome and love those who are most vulnerable and small, that's where we get Jesus. That's where we find him. That's where we meet him. After we meet him in the Word, after we find him in the table, we are sent out into the world to find him in those we are called to serve. Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, Jesus says. And whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me. Thanks be to God. Amen. I'd like you to stand as you're able as we sing our hymn of the day.